Welcome everyone this evening, and welcome to those listening in. All over the world, I know a few people from Holland are listening in, and other places in the world as well. Let's open the Bible and start in Luke chapter 21, just a couple of verses, just to start off with. Of course, sometimes world events, which also you see happening, and you think, well, it's interesting times that we live in. And Luke chapter 21, that's the first thing that popped into my head yesterday afternoon after hearing what was happening in Brussels. And I was thinking, firstly, in a natural sense, I'm happy I'm living in Bunbury. And secondly, I'm so praise the Lord that we have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit gives that comfort and gives that joy and gives that peace of mind that wherever you will be, you know, whatever happens, now, the Lord is with you, and he helps you, and he guides you and protects you. And all the people said. And it was verse 25 and 26, which I was thinking about last night. And we'll just read Luke 21, verses 25 and 26. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. And this part, which really got me, men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for redemption draweth nigh. So there's two parts to these couple of scriptures. You know, first of all, that fear, men's hearts failing for fear. And if you look around, you know, especially in the last couple of years, there's a lot more fear in this world, of people living in fear because of the world events and not being safe where you are going. But there is a promise to those who are spirit-filled. Your redemption draweth nigh. Look up, and Jesus is coming. And that's something we look forward to, of course. And it also reminded me of a speech someone gave about 83 years ago now. And I'll just read a part of his inauguration speech. I think you might know that one, Ryan. We'll see. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. And it goes on as well. And it's Franklin Roosevelt who was the President of the United States, and this was his inauguration speech in 1933. And when he did his oath, it was on a Dutch Bible, by the way. I'm not sure why he did a Dutch Bible, but this was at a time where Americans were living in fear. I mean, there was the Great Depression at that time and huge unemployment, and it was a vicious circle people were not able to get out of. And the American way it was quite difficult for them. And he came with this speech, and that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself has become very well-known. Words? Yeah, they've been very well-known. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And of course, that's very, very true, because fear is an emotion. And if you have fear, it's very hard to get over it, and it just becomes a vicious circle. And if you can't overcome that fear, it becomes very hard to get the victory. And, you know, like I said, fear is an emotion caused by, you know, threat of danger, pain, or threat of harm, and to be afraid of something. And, of course, terrorism is right at the heart of that. It instills fear in the heart of men and women. And wherever it happens, you know, people are afraid that something will happen, or the odd chance that something will happen. Even that fear is that terrorism. And one of my favorite scriptures, from when I came to the Lord, there was this one scripture that always just stood out for me, and that was in Hebrews chapter 13, if we could just turn to that. Hebrews 13. It's still a favorite scripture of mine. And when I came to the Lord, just reading through the book of Hebrews, I said it last time as well, it was just so amazing, the things which are written there, and how, you know, walking the Lord, these things are made known to you, and the same things which you're going through, that you know, you're reading the word and it becomes, it lives in your life. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And this really helped me in the beginning of my walk, because there were certain situations happening and I wasn't quite sure who to trust or what to do. And just in a natural sense, I just knew, okay, man can do so many things, but if I just trust in the Lord, I don't have to be afraid of the consequences in a natural sense, because God is helping me. God is helping me overcome my own fears, like going out in outreach, for example, and telling something about God. I mean, that's just complete silliness. Before coming to the Lord, you know, talk to someone strange on the street and, I want to talk to you about God. Or do you know anything about the Holy Spirit? And of course, once we've received the Holy Spirit, it changes. We've got this confidence, this natural, this spiritual confidence that we are able to dwell in the power of the Lord and be able to do things which you've never able to were never able to do before. Pray for people and see them healed by the power of God. And it's very important, of course, that we just know, even today, after so many years in the Lord, maybe 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, that the Lord is helping us every single day. And just quoting a scripture from Romans chapter 8, it's a well-known scripture in verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now let's turn to the book of Jonah. So in the book of Jonah, it talks about Jonah, and it was just about, you know, there's a lot of, in the Bible, it mentions fear quite often. There's two types of fear. There's that natural fear, that emotional fear, being afraid and not being able to do something because you are afraid of something. And Jonah here gets called by the Lord to go to the city of Nineveh and to that great city to tell them about the Lord. And what does Jonah do? He goes exactly the opposite direction. He says, nah, I'm not going there. I'm sorry. He's afraid. And he goes into a big ship and you know, a big storm comes and everyone knew, okay, there's something wrong. So they drew straws and Jonah takes the shortest one. So they knew, okay, something's wrong and it's your fault. Why? Why is it your fault? And in verse 9 in chapter 1, and he said unto them, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land. He's afraid. And then, there's the other people that were with him in the ship. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And there was a great fear a natural fear. So what's going on? We're going to die because of you. And of course, later on, Jonah, they throw Jonah overboard. He gets taken by a big fish and spewed up on the land 3 days later, and he goes to the great city Nineveh and does it in the end. But that's natural fear. Also, the nations around Israel, when Israel was leaving Egypt, they knew the awesomeness of God. And they were afraid. These Israelites, they have this awesome power with them. If we do anything to them, we'll be in trouble. The Egyptians, even when during the 10 plagues, they knew what Moses said came out. It happened. And when Moses said the plague of the cattle and everything were to be killed, a lot of them which were afraid brought the cattle into their barns and they were saved, and all the other ones which did not listen and the cattle were killed. And the second type of fear is reverence. And that's a godly fear, the admiration of God, and a respect of God, that natural respect, knowing this God that's created heaven and earth. He is to be respected because I am, because he is. And of course, we know there are many more examples of this in the Bible. First of all, Abraham offering Isaac. You know, offer your son. This is the son that was promised. Today is Reuben's birthday, and that scripture, and in the book of Genesis, when I was reading it after Reuben was born, I said, I can't even imagine, you know, if someone would ask me to do that, I would say, are you crazy? You know, the natural just says, no, you can't do it. You won't do it. It's your flesh and blood. And Abraham had that trust in the Lord, knowing, okay, he can even raise Isaac from the dead. if I do it. And of course, he was stopped just beforehand, but Abraham had that reverence, had that admiration, had that respect for God. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Just another great example, a person who had great respect for the Lord. Of course, is King David, who wrote many of the Psalms, had this great respect for God and was a man, and sometimes he did the right thing, and unfortunately sometimes he did the wrong thing as well, and he bore the consequences of that. But he always loved the Lord, and he just knew, if I have my priorities straight, if I love the Lord, you know, things shall be okay with me. And we'll read in Psalm 19, verse 7. Of course, this is a chorus we sing as well. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear or respect of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteousness altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And these are just fantastic verses, which is also a chorus we sing about that respect that David has for the Lord. The respect and just being able to be righteous and having that knowledge that he's being helped by the Lord. That in the end, whatever he does, if he just keeps on to the love of God, there is that great reward. And that same is for us, that when Jesus Christ returns, that we will be with him forever, with God forever. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. And of course, there's always situations we have where we get ourselves into, and these are natural fears. Situations where, you know, fear overtakes us. And even Jesus had this situation to him as well. Jesus was afraid, was very fearful. And the couple of verses we'll be reading now, of course, this is just before the crucifixion. Jesus knew what was going to happen. This Passover was already celebrated. Now he's going to Gethsemane. And we'll read Matthew chapter 26, and we'll read a few verses here. And it's Jesus, and then cometh Jesus with them, with his disciples, unto a place called Gethsemane. And he said unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy, or very afraid. And he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And Jesus is distressed, and this is probably the only time we really see him being distressed. He knows what's going to happen. He knew beforehand what road he had to take, but still, when that time came, he was very, very fearful. Verse 39, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not as I will, but as thou wilt. And Jesus asking, is there another way? And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And he's feeling quite lonely here. Now, why are you going to sleep? This is my, just before I'm going to be crucified, this is when I need you the most, and you're going asleep? Verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Jesus knows the natural weakness. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He knows what's God's will, but still he asks, is there another way? He asks twice. And he came and found them asleep again. So Peter and the disciples couldn't stay awake, for the eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. So again, three times he asked, is there another way? Is there another way? And then he cometh to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me, which of course was Judas. And that third time, we also read in the other scriptures, and in Mark and Luke, where angels minister unto him. They comfort him. He regains that strength. He overcomes his fears. He knows, okay, I've done what I could, and now it's God's going to help me. That natural fear is gone, and he just knows in the spirit that he can just bring an end to that was what he was going to do. And fear is an emotion, but we need not fear it. And you know, the Holy Ghost, which we have received, because Jesus Christ went that great distance for us, it comforts us, it guides us, it gives us joy. And you know, the spiritual is not the natural. We can overcome those natural emotions, and we know that God loves us. And just to finish off, we just go to the book of, the first letter of John, 1 John chapter 4. Some great scriptures in there about how God has loved us and given us all things. And we read one scripture in verse 18 and 19. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And there's no fear in love. You know, God loves us. That's why, and through the Holy Spirit, we're able to overcome these natural fears. That's because we see this great promise which lays before us, which is the kingdom of God, which is all where we're going to, of course, and all the people said. And by looking at that and knowing where we're heading to, and having our brothers and sisters helping us overcome our fears, our natural fears, because we don't have to do it alone. And we've got the Spirit, we've got our brothers and sisters and the church to help us. Let us just go and not be fearful and take the victory. And all the people said.